to worship here together, as it is clearly a, as you'll notice if you turn to your bulletin, summer worship. The bulletin said so, so that's what we're doing. As such, as part of our announcements, I would really appreciate some feedback. I'm not going crazy with this week's service, but I took out the gospel and I put in a cartoon for the pause for thought, and I kind of did something weird with the sermon, which is 677 words. Because we are, in fact, and I've said this before and I mean it still today, because we are worshiping together, I really do think it's your opinion that counts, right? It's not just me here, even though I know I do most of the talking. So I would appreciate any sort of thoughts or reactions that you had, whether positive or constructive, after the service.
We're having a visit from, an oversight visit from Presbytery on Tuesday, September the 13th. So if you wonder what an oversight visit is, we'll put something in the bulletin next week. But I'll read you what it is. Oversight visits are a part of the Presbytery's ministry to the pastoral charges within its bounds. It is the Presbytery's responsibility to keep in touch with all pastoral charges, supporting in times of struggle, and celebrating and encouraging achievements. The United Church of Canada is set up so that there is support and encouragement for all pastoral charges and all ministry personnel in its care. One way this is done is through regular Presbytery oversight visits. And again, it's usually done too within a year after a new minister is called or settled to a pastoral charge, and then every 3 years thereafter. So it'll be again on Tuesday, September the 13th. We'll put out a bit of an agenda for that afternoon evening.
And so with all of our celebrations, those named aloud and those within our hearts, I would invite us to prepare ourselves for worship as we take a few moments in silence. And I would invite Mavis forward to light our Christ candle.
May the light of Christ flow through us and into the world.
Our call to worship is printed on the overhand.
Head.
Let us gather in the presence of God.
To be filled with the love of God.
To be filled with the joy of Christ.
To be filled with the hope of the Spirit.
Come, let us worship the Lord. Our opening prayer is found in our bulletin. Together, let us pray. Most holy God, you are the strength and joy of all who put their trust in you. By Christ's resurrection, you make a new creation. Through the Holy Spirit, you make us witnesses of your reconciling work. Let your word of resurrection and new life permeate all that we do and say, this day and every day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amidst the glory and joy of our worship together are, in fact, the burdens which weigh us down from the past week, from this year, from this lifetime. And we have heard it tell in the past, and it is true today, that God is always ready to forgive our sins, and as we approach him or her. Let us also remember that God is willing to lighten our load, to give us a yoke that is easy and a burden that is life. So things that we have done, things that we have left undone, let us open our hearts now and admit them to God. And of course, friends, fellow Christians, fellow people on the journey of God's life, the good news is this, that no matter we have done what we have done, God forgives us. When we cannot forgive ourselves, God is already there embracing us. And so take these words to heart and let us move forward with our lives, striving, as always, to live fresh and new in God's sight. For we are forgiven, we are blessed, and we are truly loved. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Our pause for thought is fully in the vein of having a spirit that always sings in times of trouble. As we will soon hear, our scripture reading for this morning is heavily based on Exodus chapter 1 verses 8 to chapter 2 verse 10. And it's all about Moses and the midwives. That's how I remember this passage. And I showed a couple clips before. Hopefully the lighting is okay. But The Prince of Egypt was a cartoon movie that came out late 90s. I'm very unsure about the date. I remember when it first came out, I was like, this is going to be bad. And 3 months ago, I watched it and was blown away. It's amazing. It's actually better than the Ten Commandments, I think. I'll step away from the podium. But the opening song is 7 minutes long, with an amazing soprano, and the title is there in the bulletin. It's called Deliver Us. And so perhaps, while they get most things right, some things they take a bit of creative license with, as we will hear. But it's just very good at giving you a visual of sort of that time that we will hear about. And so I would invite you to get comfy in your seats, because it is 8 minutes. And I'll step back and let you watch.
Thank you.
will show Pharaoh your new baby brother. Mountain.
Incidentally, although that was probably your first time hearing it, I found it interesting that those first two lines that the woman is singing, and I could never figure out what she was saying, it's because they're originally in Hebrew and they kept it that way. I thought that was kind of a neat touch. And so with those images fresh in our mind, I would invite us to compare, contrast, and fill our hearts with the Word of God as Jack comes forward to read our scripture this week.
I thought I would just start today with a brief word about a song of faith, the statement of faith that done in 2006 at United Church, and basically what it says about Scripture. I like the idea of talking about a song of faith. Last Sunday, how many of you left here with a song on your mind after we did On Eagle's Wings, Jerusalem, Battle Hymn of the Republic? Did you leave here with something, singing something? Yes? That's why I like that idea of a song. Whether it be on your mind, in your heart, you know, on your lips, it's a great idea. So I'll just quickly tell you what the Song of Faith says about Scripture. And I think it's really very well written. Scripture is our song for the journey. The living word passed on from generation to generation to guide and inspire, that we might wrestle a holy revelation for our time and place, from the human experiences and cultural assumptions of another era. God calls us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The Spirit breathes revelatory power into Scripture, bestowing upon it a unique and normative place in the life of the community. The Spirit judges us critically when we abuse Scripture by interpreting it narrow-mindedly, using it as a tool of oppression, exclusion, or hatred. The wholeness of Scripture testifies to the oneness and faithfulness of God. The multiplicity of Scripture testifies to its depth. Two Testaments, four Gospels, contrasting points of view held in tension, all a faithful witness to the one and triune God, the holy mystery that is holy love. So I thought you might hear that. Give a chance, have a look at a Song of Faith. So the readings today, boy, settle in. This is a long one, but it's Exodus 1, chapter 1, verse 8 to chapter 2, verse 10. So here we go. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shephrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool,
If it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." The reading of the New Testament is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. The New Life in Christ. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness." Here ends the readings of our Lord.
The baby was coming. The baby was coming, and there was nothing she could do about it. Truly, there was nothing she wanted to do about it. This was her child, a welcome addition to the family, another hungry mouth that would smile and cry and lift up her heart and soul. But oh, she was scared. Even as she stumbled to the birth stool, she felt her heart flutter in fear. She was scared and alone, and there was no one around. No, of course not. Her beloved husband was enslaved with the others to suffer under the yell and the whip and the sun, all to raise another Egyptian pagan statue. She mustered a smile. They might be separated for the day, all day, But now they would be united across the space as their bodies sweated and labored together for different goals. Her body spasmed. The baby was coming. She had carried him, her, him, him, for months and months, feeling the promise of new life grow within her. Some had called her fanciful, but she had cradled her swollen belly and knew that this would be the start of a new life for her and for those who loved her. Things would start anew with the birth of her child. A new life. A new hope. The things of the past maybe wouldn't matter as much. She had made so many mistakes already, but with her child, her husband, there would just be the present, the nowness of every moment. And she'd been so excited. Excited to make something meaningful and loving from her life. And she was so scared right now. The rickety hut was warm around her, the hot Egyptian sun, all she'd ever known, beating through the window, through the doorway, lighting the sparsely furnished home with a golden haze of warmth. This, and her, would be her baby's first sight. And she wondered, would it be the last as well? The baby was coming. She found herself pushing with a choked-off scream. This was everything, and she would... A gentle hand touched her forehead, and her eyes shot open. "Sorry we're so late," the strange woman said. "We came as fast as we could. My name's Shifra. We're here to help with the birth." The other one stood beside her, holding cloths. Breath hitched in her throat, and part of her wanted to stop the birth of her child somehow, to keep it, him, her, inside of her body where it was safe. The midwives were here. They were here, and all of the lower town had heard the rumors that they were to kill the newborn children. If they were males, if her baby was a boy, he would die. Her child, her baby, would die unless she fought. But she knew, she'd heard the story, she was exhausted and alone and scared, and her body spasmed again and again because her baby was coming, and now, and push, and push, and yell and pray to a distant god to save her. To save her child, save her body, save her people. Please, no more, no more. She couldn't take it anymore. And when it was over, she was still and alone. The midwives looked at the wailing bundle of new life, her and her husband's flesh and blood, the promise that she would do things right now, and their faces tensed and her heart sunk. "Blessings," one of them said, she couldn't remember who, distantly. Sadly, it's a boy. When her husband stumbled through the door, his face was bloodied from the whip and drawn in fear because he'd seen the midwives just leave his house as he turned the corner. Exhausted, he still looked desperately for his beloved wife and maybe their child. He wasn't sure. The midwives had been here. But he found her against the wall, clutching a tiny, so tiny, bundle to her chest. And she looked at him with tears in her eyes. And when she smiled, his heart fluttered. She showed them their new hope, their baby boy, still breathing, still alive, and said these words, "I know what grace feels like now." "Praise God," he gasped out. His heart felt too full of joy to be contained. "Praise God." He sunk to the ground, joining his wife on the floor on their knees. It was and is thanks to God that new life in ourselves, in others, is nurtured. We are the servants of God's work in this world. And with God, we are made new and given the absolute promise of mysterious hope in this life and the next. Praise God. Amen. Remembering that we are not alone in this world and that, in fact, the Horn of Africa is desperate for food and water, I would invite us to make, as we are moved to do so, a presentation of our gifts and offerings either to the collection plate or to the Horn of Africa. Gentle God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread,
give the hunger for justice. Amen.
Invite us now to join in our responsive prayer for remembering the community, which actually comes from Elizabeth, who's currently the Countess of Craven, in 1750 to 1828. Incidentally, I really like having prayers or what have you from times long past, because it astonishes me sometimes how long people have been praising and praying to God. It works much better than I could ever come up with, so... Let us pray. We thank you, God, that we have lived in this great world and known its many joys. For all of life, we give you thanks. Remembering the song of birds, the strong, sweet scent of hay, and cooling breezes in the secret dusk, the flaming sunset at the close of day. For all of life, we give you thanks. Remembering the lonely hills, music at night and moonlight on the sea, the beat of waves on the rocky shore, and wild white spray flung high. For all of life, we give you thanks. Remembering the love of kin and the support of friends and all that makes life dear and beautiful. Remembering that there has come a little sorrow and sometime defeat, a little heartache, and the loneliness that comes with parting and the word goodbye. For all of life, we give you thanks. Remembering the breaking dawn after dreary hours of pain, the discovery that night's gloom yields and morning light breaks through again. For all of life, we give you thanks. Because of these and other blessings poured unasked upon our heads, because there waits an even richer and more glorious life, and most of all, because your only Son once sacrificed life's loveliness for us, we thank you, God, that we have lived in this great world and known its many joys amidst the sorrows. For all of life, we give you thanks. We ask, too, that you wrap your loving arms around the members of Hillcrest United Church and all the other churches in Fort Nelson. We ask, too, that you stay with the troubled, those who need you, either people or places who we name before you now, either out loud or in the silence of our hearts. God, for all of life, we give you thanks. Amen. And now we are bold to use the words that Christ has taught us, praying together, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so our service this week comes to a close, and as our call to worship prayed for. I would hope that we go forth with this blessing close to our hearts. That we go out with the presence of God, filled with the love of the Father, filled with the joy of Christ, filled with the hope of the Spirit, vowing to do the right thing and finding the strength within us, within God, to actually do it for this week. And as you go forth, remember who you are and to whom you belong at the end of the day. Amen.